of the deadly sins, only envy is no fun at all. There's no payoff.
No, there is not. The other sins, you know, gluttony, at least you have tasty food, and greed, and right. Lots of good things. But envy, there is no payoff, Father. You're absolutely right, but it's true. It's the only one of the sins that makes no one happy. Envy is just a hostile, damaging emotion that hurts everyone.
Praise be Jesus Christ. This is Father Robert McTague of the Society of Jesus, your daily host for the Catholic Current, where we bring Christ to the world and the world to Christ. You're listening to us from the Station of the Cross Studios, your local radio station, and the iCatholic Radio mobile app, where we proclaim the fullness of truth with clarity and charity. As always, let's start with prayer. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Almighty God, through the intercession of St. Ignatius Loyola, we ask that you pour forth your Holy Spirit upon us, a spirit of discernment, that you might hear your voice and obey your command. Well, friends, here we are. It is Tuesday at the Catholic Current. That means it's timely Tuesday. A lively guest and I have an open-ended conversation about hot headlines affecting the church and the world. You want to stay for the whole hour because the last segment, it's you and me sharing timely thoughts on what we learned today. What I want to talk about is what's taking place in the Vatican very soon. There is a health conference, and that seems like a very good thing, promoting health, promoting unity, promoting wellness. And my guest has a different take on what's actually being said about this conference. She's a returning guest. She's the founder of Your Children, and she's an international child advocate attorney whose legal career spans a wide range of legal issues relating to the exploitation of children. Elizabeth Fiore, welcome back to the Catholic Current.
Thank you, Father. I'm delighted to be with you today.
Liz, I always enjoy your interactions with Steve Bannon. I like to see that ball hit back and forth over the net so vigorously. This 2021 event that's being sponsored here at the Vatican describes itself as bringing together the world's leading physicians, scientists, leaders of faith, ethicists, et cetera, to engage in powerful conversations on the latest breakthroughs in medicine, healthcare, delivery. On and on it goes. Why aren't you doing cartwheels? Here's the Vatican engaging the culture, engaging science. This is a John Paul II kind of thing, isn't it? Shouldn't we just sit back and wait for the good news to come rolling off the headlines?
Well, Father, it sure is engaging the culture, first and foremost. Some of the shocking invitees who are speaking as experts on, let me see, what's the title? Mind, Body, and Soul. Some of them are the likes of Chelsea Clinton, daughter of Hillary, and Bill, a staunch abortion advocate, the New Age guru Deepak Chopra, or as some call him, Deepak Chopra, Dame Jane Goodall, who is an environmentalist and chimpanzee expert, and I might add a huge population control advocate. We have the CEOs of Pfizer and Moderna, who will be there, who have been very involved in using fetal tissue, aborted fetal tissue, on their vaccines. We also have people like Joe Perry of Aerosmith. We want to make sure that the rock star advocates are represented. We also, God knows what he knows about mind, body, and spirit, except for the fact that he survived the 60s and 70s.
He could provide a cautionary tale, at least.
Yes, the drug. Also, I mean, it, and I said this to you earlier, it is approaching the sarcasm of Saturday Night Live skit, because also invited is that deep theologian Cindy Crawford, yes, the model, the
Katy Perry wasn't available. She didn't get an invite back.
That was 3 years ago when she talked transcendental meditation.
Right.
At the, so we have and it goes list goes on. Renee Fleming, the opera star, and then we also have, and I think this is illustrative of what's really going on as moderators, Father. We have some of the biggest names in the left-wing American media, Robin Robinson, Katie Couric, Meredith Vieira. We have also Sanjay Gupta. We also have Dr. Oz. Those And we have nobody from outside the United States as a media moderator. Nobody from the BBC or Sky News or Australia. And my belief is this conference, the audience is the skeptical and cynical American public, possibly the American Catholics, who are questioning not only the CDC, Dr. Fauci's pronouncements, the vaccine. And so this is to put the pressure, the media pressure, and with these media moderators at the conference asking the questions, you know, there's going to be a lot of publicity here in the United States over this conference. So this is, you know, I'm often reminded of Chesterton's quote, we do not want a church that will move with the world. We want a church that will move the world. And in this case, I have the feeling in looking at this conference lineup, there are, you know, many pro-aborts, many population control people speaking. There's only two religious clerics speaking. The rest are scientists, only of one persuasion. There is no quote-unquote dialogue or debate going on here. This is, in my opinion, a real, you know, pushing of the narrative. And Father, for your audience, I always want to say there's a red flag always when they start pulling out the celebrities. Mm-hmm. And in my opinion, it's because they need celebrities to push the narrative because it's to appeal to the young people. And as you know, you probably saw that Pope Francis spoke at the Vax Live conference with all the celebrities. J-Lo was there, Selena Gomez, Prince Harry, again, pushing the narrative that do not be an individual, be compassionate of your fellow man and get the vaccine. And so you see this convergence of the globalists using the celebrities from Hollywood and around the world in pushing the narrative so that we can't have a serious dialogue. We can't have a debate to search for the truth. We have what is really, I think, is just bold propaganda. And so, you know, this conference is really what Klaus Schwab, you know, the founder and president of the World Economic Forum in Davos.
He's kind of the mastermind of the Great Reset. In fact, he has a little book that you can, it's available on Kindle Unlimited called The Great Reset, where it's all labeled out there. And I said, it's ironic that, you know, we're witnessing what I think can arguably called a movement towards globalism, and the animating spirit behind it looks like a Bond villain from an old James Bond movie from the 1960s. Friends, I'm in conversation with Liz Yor. We're talking about the upcoming health conference at the Vatican. Liz, I agree with you that this almost seems to be at the level of satire with a little bit of pep rally thrown in. You know, I'm an academic. I've been to boring academic conferences. I don't mind when the Vatican has academics together to talk about academic things. Does it seem more like cheerleading to you that we want to be rushing people into a direction rather than let's have a staid, sober conversation among scholars and then produce a report? Is that your read on it also?
That is my read on it. And after 8 years of not only going to some Vatican conferences, but also observing them, investigating, researching it very closely, this is the prototype of the Vatican conference, where only one side, in my assessment of this, one very, very globalist promoting leftist modernist agenda is what is promoted by this Vatican, with the Pontifical Academy of Social Sciences being really the launching pad, mission central, if you will, of the global new order. And as we know, you know, even Joe Biden, President Joe Biden said, we need to follow, this is part of his Easter message, we need to follow the dictates of Pope Francis, who said that we have a moral obligation, moral duty to have a vaccine. We have not had a global discussion about the vaccine. It was, we know, rushed to market. Many have cautioned that it is strictly not a vaccine, but in experimental gene therapy. So why can't we have a discussion about this? And the Pope's role, I think, is one we need to discuss because he has a very critical role in this Great Reset and or the New World Order. And this is the totalitarian takeover of the world. And he has provided, Pope Francis has provided moral cover for the Chinese virus by praising China's handling of the virus. He has provided actually moral cover for what many argue is an abortion-laden vaccine. He has provided moral cover for climate change, for undermining, really, capitalism. So, I mean, this is...
Well, we'll need to talk about in the upcoming segments what the role of the Vatican should be on the world stage these days. Should the Pope be a celebrity or not? Friends, when we come back, I'm going to continue my conversation with international child advocate and attorney Liz Yor. We're talking about the upcoming Vatican Conference on Health. In the next segment, we're going to be talking about transhumanism, scientism, and other isms. It's an important conversation you don't want to miss. Remember, our rallying cry here at the Catholic Current is Christus Mundo, Mundus Christo, bringing Christ to the world and the world to Christ. We do it because our Lord says so, for the greater glory of God, the love of our neighbor, and the salvation of our own soul. After the broadcast today, go to thestationofthecross.com, get a resources list, download the audio, keep the conversation going. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Praise be to Jesus. Hi, this is Joe McLean, host of the Catholic Drive Time Morning Show, joining you on the Station of the Cross Catholic Radio Network each weekday morning at 7 a.m. We'll keep you informed and inspired with insightful guests and breaking news stories of the day. That's the Catholic Drive Time, weekday morning, 7 a.m. on the Station of the Cross and the iCatholic Radio app. We'll see you then. May God love you.
You're listening to The Catholic Current with Father Robert Matejka from the Station of the Cross Catholic Media Network. Stay connected with the show, our guests, and topics by following the show on Twitter and Gab. Just search for The Catholic Current.
Praise be Jesus Christ. This is Father Robert McTague of the Society of Jesus, your daily host for the Catholic Current, where we bring Christ to the world and the world to Christ. You're listening to us from the Station of the Cross Studios, your local radio station, and the iCatholic Radio mobile app, where we proclaim the fullness of truth with clarity and charity. My returning guest today is Distinguished Attorney Elizabeth Yor. We're talking about the upcoming Vatican Healthcare Conference. In this segment, Liz, I want to talk about the various isms. In your coverage of this conference, you warn against transhumanism. That's not a word that is going to be immediately recognizable to most listeners. I'm a little sketchy on it myself. Fill us in on what is transhumanism and what role does it play in the upcoming Vatican Health Conference?
Transhumanism, it has a lot of different forms in the New World Order and the Great Reset, but essentially what it is to using science to alter and to replace man. It is the replacement of Jesus Christ, of religion, of the ability. Now, this is how I often use it. You've seen this in climate change arguments. You've seen it also in the latest arguments with respect to what's going on with COVID. What has happened in what transhumanism is to desacralize man and to what I call divinize nature. And it is to lessen the importance of man and to, because of the importance of elevating nature to a level above man, which is in contrary to Genesis and what Catholic Church teaches. But we have seen, because of the advancement in science, technology, we have seen the ability of science to step into the feet of God, to become godlike, to create, to to create man without the participation of a man and woman. That's where we're going. It's the brave new world, which we all, you know, would say, oh, that we'll never see that. It is hocus pocus. It is, but transhumanism is the ability, certainly, also to use technology to control man. You know, what is probably very alien to both you and I, Father, as well as your audience, is the globalists have this maniacal need to control people. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the mask is, in my opinion, is a way to control people. The ability to cancel thought in the cancel culture, to eliminate people. And so it is, you know, the... ultimately, the cancellation of truth, as we know, Jesus Christ is the truth. And so humanism is this, of course, lovely sounding word that makes, or transhumanism, that makes it appear that we are becoming more human-like, as opposed to the reality, which is we are being replaced by technology. We are being replaced by nature, or certainly we are being reduced as a result of, you know, things like climate change, man, bad. So these are all the moving parts that are happening as a result of transhumanism, humanism. And you'll see throughout Pope Francis's declarations, exhortations, that he is pushing this humanism, which, you know, in anybody who studied Freemasonry, the Illuminati, humanism is the language that they use in order to replace the five great religions. Right.
You see, what puzzles me, here's the paradox, and I'm just speaking as a philosophy professor, theology professor. On the one hand, there seems to be an inclination to reduce man to just an animal and just one of the things in the overall ecosystem, not very special, certainly not made in the image and likeness of God. And on the other hand, to exalt man as the guy who's in charge of the zoo because he's got opposable thumbs and a big brain. There seems to be an intrinsic contradiction. And then there's also an absolute elevation of science. And that brings me to the next ism I want to discuss with you, Liz, is the idea of scientism. There are people who are saying that follow the science is analogous to Jesus said it, I believe it, that settles it. Is scientism the elevation of science to the status of religion, on your view? And is this Vatican Conference an instance of that?
Yes, it is. That's precisely what it is. And interestingly, Father, to this point, and this has been going on for the last 8 years of this papacy, and there was certainly a different tenor before with other papacies. Scientism, a science, is never settled. I learned that, you know, look, full disclosure, I'm a C-minus biology student from high school. That's as far as I went. But I did go to the kind of what we called the Contra Conference during Laudato Si, when the Pope was issuing his environmental exhortation. And that environmental exhortation was opposed by many, many scientists around the world, because they were very concerned that that Francis had not taken in the other side of the climate debate. Mm-hmm. And what I learned with these scientists, now, these men were men who put men on the moon, worked for NASA, taught at MIT, some of the greatest scientists around the world. Science is never settled. It is the pursuit of truth. It is weighing various factors, models, information. And that is the true science, you know, is the exploration of truth. And in order to find some level of truth at some point, there has to be a debate, a vigorous debate, as to what causes, you know, the warming of the earth, what causes the cooling of the earth, and what is the nature of this virus, and what, you know, what is needed? Is it herd immunity? Is it this vaccine? We're not getting that discussion because really what is happening, because the, you know, the Great Reset is upon us, it is rushing madly to the abyss. We're not allowed the ability to explore the truth. And as Catholics, the sense of reason, we use our reason along with our faith to explore the truth. This is not happening at the Vatican. That's why they don't have another set of experts and scientists and doctors invited. There's only one particular point of view being represented. And so this is, when people say science is settled, that should be a red flag for everybody to know. That's not how we come to the great understanding of the world, how we come to development about finding cures. It is because of the struggle for the truth, which everybody goes through. I mean,
yes, of course. And what bothers me is this exaltation of science is moving away from the scientific methodology that Catholic intellectuals have been developing for centuries, and that the exaltation of this corrupted form of science is absolutely separated from any reference to wisdom as well. Friends, I'm in conversation with attorney Liz Yor, and we're talking about the upcoming Vatican Health Conference. Liz, part of what concerns me is that this seems to be intellectual effort on the cheap, right? That this is that from an intellectual point of view, from the viewpoint of intellectual rigor, this is tchotchke made at kind of an intellectual Walmart. This is not stuff that's meant to hold up. It's not stuff that's meant to endure. That this is the intellectual equivalent of plastic that's meant to wear out and be replaced by other junk. Is that too dark of a view from this cranky old philosophy professor? Are we being set up, or am I missing an opportunity for wisdom here?
No, I think we are being set up, and I think those that have average person that is taking the time to research, to be open to what is really happening out there, realize very quickly that this is the bum's rush. We're getting the bum's rush at great peril, not only to our freedom, but to our health, our spirit. And as a result, anybody who takes the time to really dig in, despite the cancel culture, despite the suppression of information, that they are coming to the same conclusion that this is research on the cheap. You're not allowed to pursue any kind of intellectual research. And as a result, what happens? They call you a racist, a kook, a conspirator, uncompassionate. It's the intellectual gaslighting that is going on all levels, because they're not allowing any of us to use our God-given abilities to pursue the truth in science, which many people are capable of looking at, as well as any of these other issues. And looking at this conference, for example, and saying, what's really going on here? This is, I'm offended as a Catholic. This is an insult to my intelligence. Why, asking the questions, why are celebrities who have no stake in this game here? Why are these left-wing media moderators from the U.S. Here at this conference? Why are there so few of the brilliant Catholic minds who are clerics, and scientists, who have been in this field for many, many years? These are the questions that we need to really explore, and then you come to your own conclusions that this is the conference that people should ask to be canceled, should reject the findings. And as a result, at the same time this is going on, Pope Francis is appearing as the great moral leader in this high-tech, vax live celebrity conference as a quote-unquote global citizen. I mean, this is razzmatazz. This is all the kind of high-tech razzmatazz to think that we are being part of the cool guys, to follow along with what Anthony Fauci says, or what Selena Gomez says. We want to be light. We want to be part of the crowd. We want to be with it and hip. When in fact, you know, we as Catholics have always been taught to use our minds to question, to go deeper, not to be fooled by the celebrity culture, but that's in fact what they're using at the Vatican to kind of lure us into accepting the globalist regime and the globalist cures.
And the cross of Christ was never meant to be the path to popularity, quite the contrary. Friends, when we come back, we're going to continue our conversation with Liz Yore. We're going to be talking still about our the upcoming health conference at the Vatican. In the next segment, I'm going to ask the question, is this really necessary? Is this what the papacy should be doing? Is the papacy falling prey to the cult of celebrity? After the broadcast today, go to thestationofthecross.com, get our resources list, download our audio as podcast. Whatever channel you find our audio, follow that channel, write us a 5-star review. We need to attract the attention of the algorithms so that these conversations get the attention they deserve. Together, we can take it around the world. We'll be back in just 2 minutes. Please do stay with us.
This is the Catholic Current from the Station of the Cross Catholic Media Network. Catch up on an episode you've missed or share them with your family or friends. The Catholic Current is podcasted wherever you enjoy listening. Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, and the iCatholic Radio mobile app.
Praise be Jesus Christ. This is Father Robert McTague of the Society of Jesus, your daily host for the Catholic Current, where we bring Christ to the world and the world to Christ. You're listening to us from the Station of the Cross Studios, your local radio station, and the iCatholic Radio mobile app, where we proclaim the fullness of truth with clarity and charity. I'm in conversation with attorney Liz Yore. We're talking about the upcoming healthcare conference at the Vatican next week. Liz, I want to pull back the camera a little bit. We've been doing some fine-grained analysis. Why is the papacy involved in things like this? I can understand some Vatican dicastery having a conference with scholars about scholarly things, but to have the Holy See be one of the dancers on the world stage, it seems to me to smack of the cult of celebrity. I don't want the Pope to be famous. I want him to pronounce on those things he needs to pronounce on, and then I need him to pray and quietly govern the Church. Am I a retrograde? Am I still pining for when Pius XII was still gloriously reigning? Have I missed the John Paul II bullet train? Help me out here.
Well, I think now I'm seeing why Pope should not get into global politics, I think, because what is happening is it's a divide among Catholics when we, at a time when we need to really bring the Church together. So what I think is really happening, Father, and as I've followed this papacy, I have just really come to very sad conclusion that the globalists, their new world order, their great reset, whatever you want to call it, the sustainable development goals, whatever you call their program to really radicalize and control the world, was always lacking one important ingredient, and that was a moral force, a moral voice. Leo DiCaprio didn't do it, nor did Al Gore in the climate change arena. Neither does China with respect to the COVID. And so Klaus Schwab certainly didn't. And so what Francis has provided during these last 8 years is really the moral voice to justify and underscore the importance of this really dangerous, dangerous movement that is taking over the world, whether it's under the guise of climate change, we now have environmental sins, whether it's under the guise of the China virus, which has been legitimized by Francis by saying China handled the outbreak very well. Whether it's now the vaccine, which, you know, many bishops, or certainly a strong handful of the bishops, have been really warning against it. We now have the Holy See fully aware, I'm sure, of what is involved in this experimental gene therapy, most specifically aborted baby fetal cells, saying that it was something that should be taken. And you have a moral obligation to be compassionate to your fellow man and take the vaccine. So every step of the way in the global politics, which have really been ramped up, Francis has been front and center, in my mind, promoting the global agenda, whether it's under climate change, whether it's, you know, the vaccine, whether it's migration, whatever the issue that the globalists are pushing. And, you know, in the same vein, as we know, it is the crushing of free market capitalism. And Francis has also been, you know, not only with an encyclical, for lack of a better word, trashing capitalism, but also just last couple of months ago, he had the Vatican and the Holy See join into this council of inclusion capitalism. And this inclusive capitalism, again, as we've talked about, nuanced language of the left, Father, this is the globalist agenda to destroy capitalism. And who shows up? Who shows up at the Vatican, who founded this council on inclusive capitalism, but none other than Lady Lynn de Rothschild, and, you know, of the famous Rothschild. She married a Rothschild, and she also good friend of Ghislaine Maxwell and Jeffrey Epstein.
Ooh.
So, I mean, these are the types of globalists that have been invited with open arms into the Vatican, not only invited in, I mean, it's understandable he's a world leader, but also their agenda has been given the imprimatur by the Holy See, by the Vatican, by the Vicar of Christ. So it is plain politics at a very, very high level, while at the same time we see Christians being persecuted all over the world in silence. Freedom fighters in Hong Kong, mainly Catholic freedom fighters, not being protected by the Pope. We see Ireland pass a horrible abortion law. Ireland having their churches closed down, having masses stopped by the police. Silence from the Vatican. I mean, I could go on and on and on. At the moments in our history where the moral voice of the Vatican has always stepped in,
right.
When Catholics and Christians and even the Muslim Uyghurs are being persecuted and tormented and tortured and detained and genocide going on in the world, that's when the Vatican has always been that moral voice, however, you know, unpopular, speaking truth.
And now, not so much. And as I scratch my head and wonder about why the Vatican pronounces on some things and not others, you know, I grew up, I spent a lot of the years in Washington, D.C., and that's jaded me in some ways. Always follow the money. You know, if you want to be fancy in Latin, you say qui bono. Is there big foundation money being driven to the Vatican for the hosting of these conferences? I've heard that from a lot of different sources. I haven't been able to nail it down myself. Can you give us any leads, any insight on that question?
No, only that the, you know, big pharma is present and very involved in this conference, Moderna, Pfizer. Also, we know the financial scandals that have been really front and center. Mm-hmm. In the Vatican in the last 6 months have really highlighted the desperate need for money in the Vatican, which also gives me great concern. Mm-hmm. We also know of the major rumor that has not been disputed by the Vatican that the Chinese Communist Party, as of 2014, yearly sends $2.5 billion to the Vatican as a grant donation.
Billion with a B?
Billion with a B. And so Yes, follow the money. And, right. and yet, you know, 10% of Peter's pence goes to the actual charitable purpose for which it is supposed to be given. And so there's all sorts of mismanagement. And, you know, remember, Jorge Bergoglio was chosen by the conclave to clean up the Curia financial mess and to finally, once and for all, put the clergy sex abuse scandal. Both of those issues have been raging in a far greater manner than they were previously. So none of the things for which he was supposed to clean up, have in-house housekeeping, has he done. So, you know, I'm very concerned that, you know, he is following the money. It's also very difficult because of the Vatican Bank, it's not been transparent to be able to prove any of these things. Mm-hmm. But we do know that the Vatican is had a number of bad financial decisions and ones that, you know, have caused the police in the UK to have indictments. So, I mean, it's a absolute mess. And, you know, it's oftentimes, you know, financial scandals and moral scandals kind of go hand in hand. That's been my experience.
Right.
And so sure enough, this papacy is really, you know, on a collision course, in my opinion, and has hopped on the globalist train as a result.
It puzzles me, because if you look at papal teaching going back a generation or so, the Catholics would be warned against that type of worldly corruption, and would mm-hmm. be warned against putting any earthly authority over the kingship of Christ. It seems that the kingship of Christ has been eclipsed in some ways. And I, you know, as a Jesuit, as a Catholic priest, I just find that heartbreaking. You know, Liz, the liturgy tells us on a daily basis that we are now overcome with paschal joy. I'm not going to ask my audience for a show of hands. I'm certainly not feeling it these days. Does the alarm ever go off and you say, I can't do this anymore. I can't follow church news anymore. I give up. Do you ever have those thoughts, and how do you respond to them?
I do have those thoughts, Father, but I think you nailed it. This is about the kingship of Christ. And as Catholics, we were baptized into the faith as children who were confirmed as soldiers of Christ. And really, now, more than any time, I think, in church history, maybe, you know, at the time of Christ, certainly, but now is where we need to really take on the banner of the kingship of Christ as soldiers of Christ. So as weary as this battle is and frustrating, it is now, and I'm convinced that it's the Catholics around the world that will really step up and really push back. No matter what the power, the money behind this globalist agenda, we have the truth, we have the rosary, we have our Blessed Mother, and we have Jesus Christ. And it's, in my sense of it is that this is the battle before us. And so each of us in our own way has to embrace it and yes. fight the good fight.
No, I'm in full agreement with you, Liz. You know, I think back to, as a Pius XI, who watching the rise of fascism in Europe, and by which I mean real fascism, he said, "Let us give thanks to God that we live in times such as these. For now, it is permitted to no one to be mediocre." You know, if our goal is to die as saints, this can actually be a propitious time, because cultural Catholicism, the tide of which carried along the lukewarm, that's just not there anymore. Liz, we've got a minute left in this segment. Could you offer a word of encouragement to our listeners as we draw closer to this Vatican Health Conference?
Yes. Father, I've been reading a lot about the Catholic Church during World War II, and especially France and Belgium, and what not only the nuns and priests, but the Catholics did to save the Jews. There's a great Cardinal Van Roy from the Cardinal of Brussels, who every week would send out a list to the resistance of where the churches, the convents, the orphanages, the rectories, where they would hide Jews, where they would protect little Jewish children who and give them new names and identities. Thousands and thousands and thousands of children were protected because of the Catholic Church and because of the leadership, not only of the hierarchy, but on a daily basis. The priests and nuns, at great personal peril, would help not only the Jewish people, but also the American and British downed pilots, and would get them, slip them out of Belgium and France, which was not occupied by the Nazis. This, to me, is just the inheritance that we...
Our Catholic heroes show us that Catholic heroism is not impossible. Liz, your God bless your good work. Thank you for being a splendid guest. I look forward to our next conversation.
Thank you, Father.
I'm Jesuit Father Robert McTague. You want to stay with us for the rest of the hour? Next segment, it is just you and me sharing timely thoughts, reflecting on what we've heard today. Follow what we're following by following us on Gab. That's GAB.com. Our channel is The Catholic Current. We'll be right back. Do stay with us.
There's no better way to start your day than with spiritual formation from inspiring priests.
We have to remember, as we look back through history, life was very difficult for people, and therefore faith was fairly easy. In our society, life has become very easy, and therefore the faith has become very difficult. Life has become so simple and easy, so God's going to test our faith.
That's Sermons for Everyday Living, weekdays from 6 to 7 a.m. Eastern on the Station of the Cross.
After today's broadcast, go to the Catholic Current Show page on thestationofthecross.com for info on today's guests, the show resource links, and to sign up for our weekly email of upcoming shows.
Praise be Jesus Christ. This is Father Robert McTague of the Society of Jesus, your daily host for the Catholic Current, where we bring Christ to the world and the world to Christ. You're listening to us from the Station of the Cross Studios, your local radio station, and the iCatholic Radio mobile app, where we proclaim the fullness of truth with clarity and charity. It's the last segment of Timely Tuesday. It's just you and me sharing timely thoughts in light of what we've been hearing in the earlier part of the show. I welcome back attorney Liz Yor. We're talking about the upcoming health conference being hosted by the Vatican in about a week. And there's going to be celebrity doctors like Dr. Anthony Fauci speaking there. And there's also going to be celebrities there. Former supermodel Cindy Crawford, some NFL stars, luminary Chelsea Clinton, and Joe Perry of Aerosmith, because I don't know why. Honest to goodness, I don't know why. But there we are, and they're going to be talking about health and unity and health and fraternity and health and things. And apparently someone thinks that's the best way to spend the social capital and time and energy of the Holy See. I'm not convinced. What else is going on in the church and the world? Recently, there was a bit of a stir. A member of a certain religious community with which I have some familiarity said, you know what's wrong with the world today? Too many young people go to the traditional Latin Mass. Things will get better once we stop that. You wait and see. As you can imagine, there's been some backlash against that. There's been a very eloquent open letter written by someone identified as Regan at the Remnant newspaper. I ask you to have a look at that, and well, that's worth considering. Also, looking ahead to next month, it's the meeting of the USCCB, the Conference of Catholic Bishops, is meeting in June, and apparently they're nearly on the verge of considering the possibility of having a conversation to discern about whether or not they should decide to have a conversation about whether or not they should be talking about Catholic politicians who are enthusiasts for abortion should be receiving Holy Communion in public, which not only causes scandal among the faithful, but is a violation of Canon 915. It'll be interesting to see what is and is not said about that. looking farther abroad out in Germany, mark your calendar. On May 10th, 2,500 German priests are going to bless, so they say, same-sex unions. And then on May 15th, according to the president of the German Bishops' Conference, if you decide that, here I quote, Jesus is the inviter of the Eucharist, then come to Catholic Mass and receive Holy Communion because reasons. Now, this is an that's an absolute rupture from what the Church has always taught. That is incontestable. And as far as I can tell, there's not been any strongly worded statements, threats, responses, Instagram posts from the Holy See about these dates of May 10th and May 15th. Make of that what you will. I do know that a lot of my friends, good, prayerful people, are confused. Some of them are frightened. Some of them I've told they need to step away from the spigot of hysteria about COVID. And they need to pray. And, you know, there's no substitute for spending some time with the saints. And recently, St. Catherine of Siena has been on my mind. What an astonishing woman. She's a strong drink. You really have to brace yourself to be ready. I mean, if she were a drink, she would be Scotch whiskey at cask strength, nothing watered down. Let me read to you some quotes from St. Catherine of Siena. She said this, "Start being brave about everything. Drive out darkness and spread light. Don't look at your weaknesses. Realize instead that in Christ crucified, you can do everything." So says St. Catherine of Siena. Start being brave about everything. That sounds thrilling, and it sounds intimidating, and it sounds inviting. What does that look like? Well, I think at a minimum it involves, let's not make excuses for ourselves. You know, God bless my mother, God rest her soul. She used to say, where would we all be if I stayed in bed because my big toe hurt me? The house would fall apart. And she's likely right, it would have fallen apart. I think that faithful Catholics have been so beaten down in recent times, even more so since the time of the COVID interruption, that we're depressed, we're discouraged, and we kind of make excuses for cutting back on prayer, for staying in bed, for being self-indulgent, for watching Mass on television rather than getting our tail out of bed and schlepping down to the parish church, even though we can. On and on it goes. We need to stop with that. A lot of people are talking about, is it time to panic? Is it time to head into the Ark? Is it time to head to the catacombs? The short answer to that is I don't know. I do know that business as usual, thanks be to God, is dying. I don't know what the new normal is going to look like. That's going to take some time. But the idea that we can just coast along and be lukewarm, in God's merciful providence, those days are coming to an end. But I take heart from what St. Catherine said, drive out darkness and spread light. We have the ability and the obligation to push back against the darkness. We can perform the spiritual and corporal works of mercy. We can tell the truth with love. We can pray in reparation for our sins and the sins of others. We can learn to know our Lord through the heart of His Mother daily through the Rosary. On and on it goes. There are so many very small things, not famous things, not noticeable things, not anything that'll end up on social media, but real true things that can help push against the darkness. We need to do that. We need to do that. Don't look at your weaknesses. Friends, I'm a sinner. I know my weaknesses very, very well. Quote the comedian who said, I know how I get. I've seen me do it. I've seen myself drop the ball. I've seen myself make excuses. I've seen myself rationalize. Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. And if I see only those, then I take my eyes off Christ. And then nothing good can happen. He goes on to say, St. Catherine goes on to say, realize instead that in Christ crucified, you can do everything. Our Lord says, be of good cheer. I have conquered the world. Remember the world, the flesh, and the devil, the state, the scoffers, the pagans, all the enemies of God, did their absolute worst to the Christ of God. Sin and death made a full court press against them and were defeated. And as Christians, we have the privilege and the high calling in sharing in that victory. And when we choose to fight at his side with a glad heart, with high hopes, with wonder and gratitude, then we can share his victory. We can win battle scars as badges of honor. And we can enter into his joy and enter into his glory. These are hard times. They are confusing times. They are dark times. They are the times that God has provided for us to become saints. So let's reach out to the lost and the stragglers and the downhearted, wherever we find them, even if we find them when we look in the mirror, and say, come now, unite yourself with Christ. Start being brave about everything. Drive out darkness and spread light. Friends, this is our mandate. This is our mission. This is our high privilege. And pushing back against the darkness and spreading the light will draw people to Christ. And then lives will be saved and souls will be saved. And best of all, God will be glorified. I'm Father Robert McTague of the Society of Jesus, your host Monday through Friday, 5 to 6 p.m. Eastern here at the Catholic Current. Join me tomorrow when we welcome back philosophical legend Dr. Peter Kraft of Boston College. We'll be talking about his new book called How to Destroy Western Civilization. It'll be a fascinating conversation. I'm looking forward to it. You don't want to miss it. Through the intercession of Our Lady of Mount Carmel, may God our Lord surround you with a legion of guardian angels with flaming swords to light your path, to guard your way, to protect you from all harm and every evil, to reach the happiness of heaven. May Almighty God bless you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Go in peace, and please pray for me.
Thank you for listening to this podcast brought to you by thestationofthecross.com. A listener-funded nonprofit organization. If this podcast has helped you in your spiritual journey, please prayerfully consider donating at thestationofthecross.com by calling 1-877-888-6279 or through our free iCatholic Radio mobile app.